It'd be helpful if you had your Bibles open to Psalm 6. It's on page 545 in the church Bibles. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, if you could raise your hand, there'll be some stewards who would love to bring you a Bible. So it's Psalm 6. Psalm 6. For the director of music with stringed instruments, according to Sheminith, a psalm of David. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. No one remembers you when he is dead, who praises you from his grave. I am worn out from groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and dismayed. They will turn back in sudden disgrace. I want to start this evening by asking you some questions, if I may. I wonder, have you ever felt so low that you felt helpless? Or you've been in anguish or full of sorrow? Have you ever felt so low that your body has felt so weak that you barely think that you can move and you want to give up? Have you cried so much that your eyes go red and you give yourself a headache? Have you ever been so low that you feel that there is a great weight on your shoulders? Have you cried yourself to sleep at night? And maybe you felt so low that you may have even wanted to give up on life altogether. Now, I don't know what you're thinking right now, but I would be right in saying that you've got something in your head. A time when you felt low. A time when you felt that you were at rock bottom. Now, some of the words that I've just said just a moment ago are the words that are used in Psalm 6. They are words that King David wrote. And there is no mistaking as we read Psalm 6, they are the words of a man who is at rock bottom. In much the same way that some of you here tonight maybe at rock bottom. Now, I don't know exactly where David is in his life at this point, but it is obvious to say that David is finding things really, really hard. So as we go through Psalm 6, we're going to go on a journey with David. And hopefully we're going to discover what it meant for David to be at rock bottom. And as we do that, I hope we'll be helped by it. So we've established that David is at rock bottom. This works. Oh, no. Hey. We've established that David's at rock bottom. Can we go another one, please? And so I first want to show you what the symptoms are of rock bottomness. Now, I am aware that that's not a real word, but there seems to be a pattern in this church of adding ness to the end of words. So my word is rock bottomness. And I think it's an adequate word. It's a word that will describe how David feels in this psalm. So let's have a look at the symptoms of rock bottomness. The first one is helplessness. In verses 1 and 3, we can see the first symptoms. Look down at verse 1 with me. David has obviously done something wrong. Something that he thinks both deserves wrath and God's anger. And so in verse 2, he cries out, "Be merciful to me, Lord." Now, people only cry out, "Be merciful," don't they, when they need help, when they're helpless, and when they can't help themselves. And as we read on, we're going to learn that this helplessness for David shows itself in a spiritual way and a physical way. Have a look at verse 2. David goes on to say, "I am faint." And that his bones, that his the strongest, most innermost part of his human body, are in agony. This isn't man flu, or for the ladies, a common cold. This is deep-rooted physical agony. It's the sort of physical agony we associate with childbirth or the breaking of a bone. That would be closer to the way that David is feeling at this moment in time. And as we read on in verse 3, David says that his soul is in anguish. His soul is suffering. Spiritually, David is hanging on by a thread. Every part of David is either in agony or in anguish, and he is helpless to do anything about it. And so he cries out in verse 3. "How long, O Lord? How long?" He's hit rock bottom. And he cries out to God, "How long will this go on, God? How long?" Now I wonder, can you relate to how David feels? Have there been times when you felt completely helpless? Maybe that helplessness has caused you to not eat, or it's caused you to feel unwell. Or maybe that helplessness has caused you to feel like God is far, far, far away. Or maybe that you think that he's wandered completely away from you and he doesn't love you anymore. He's given up on you altogether. I have to confess, there have been times in my life when I felt like that. But let's move on and look at the second symptom of rock bottomness: desperation. David continues to cry out to the Lord, doesn't he, in verse 3? Have a look, 3 and 4. David's words show us that in this prolonged feeling of helplessness, it's caused him to think whether or not it'd be worth himself dying. That it'd be better for him to be dead. He's so low that he speaks of ending and not bothering with life altogether. He says, "Lord, please save me. Because if you don't save me from this rock bottomness, I feel like I'm going to die. And how can I know and how can I praise you, Lord, when I'm dead?" He acknowledges that without God's help, he will surely die. He is in a desperate situation. And I wonder maybe if some of us can relate to that. We must move on to the third symptom of rock bottomness, pardon me. The third symptom is weeping and weariness. And in verse 6 and 7, we read how this rock bottomness has caused him to feel and to weep uncontrollably. So much so that he weeps all through the night, so that his bed is soaking wet with his tears. And he's cried so much, and he's cried so often, that he's weak with sorrow. And he doesn't even have the strength to fight off his enemies. Isn't it a stark contrast to the man that we learn about, the man who fought Goliath, who defeated the giant as a boy? A man who grew up to lead God's people to many victories in battle. And doesn't that beg the question? What could possibly bring a man like David, God's anointed king, from the heights of success that God has given him, in both battle and in leading his people, to a man who is helpless, desperate, and weeping and weary in his bed at night. Why is David feeling like this? Well, for that answer, we need to look at verse 1. Have a look in your Bibles at verse 1 of Psalm 6. If I was to ask you one question, one thing that would cause God to be most angry, or one thing that would cause God to discipline someone in his wrath, what would it be? It'd be sin, wouldn't it? Now, there are lots of details in this psalm, particularly in verse 1 and 2, which I don't have time to address. And if I'm honest, there are a few things that I actually don't understand very much. So I'll do what I've been taught and what we've all been taught as we've looked at Leviticus and as we've looked at Exodus in the past couple of weeks. I will keep the plain things, the main things, and the main things, the plain things. And the plain things are that David is obviously feeling the weight of his sin. And somehow this sin is causing the symptoms of his rock bottomness. And it shows itself physically, and it shows itself spiritually. And so David says these words in verse 1. And when he says these words, he's acknowledging that he is a sinner. These words show us that David is conscious of his sin. And he understands the consequences of his sin. But just for a moment, notice that he doesn't ask God not to discipline him. He asks God not to discipline him with the full, righteous anger that his sin deserves. David certainly understands the severity of his sin, whatever that is. And he understands there are consequences and he must deal with that. And so, he cries out to God for mercy. Now, I can think of times when I can identify with David. I can identify with what he's going through. Times when I've been at rock bottom, for one reason or another. And maybe you can too. And in those times, I've often asked myself this question. What do I do? What's the remedy for someone who is at rock bottom? And that's going to be our next slide. Now, to get this, I want you to imagine, can you put the next slide up for me? I want you to imagine David. Imagine David is walking down the corridor of his palace towards his bedroom. His face is downcast and he's dragging his feet on the ground. He's hunched over with the weight of his rock bottomness. His tears are running down his face, so much so that his top and his robe are soaked through. And as he enters his bedroom and he closes the door, he falls on his bed. What does he do next? In that circumstance, what does David do next? Does he look up on the internet the 10 best ways to avoid rock bottomness? Does he decide, well, I'll go and do a bit of shopping because a bit of retail therapy, that'll definitely help? Does he open the latest self-help magazine with the newest fad that will make him feel better about himself? Does he update his Facebook status and tell everyone in the world that he is at rock bottom? No, that's not what he does. See, as he tries to ignore the searing headache, what does he do? He puts his head in his hands and he begins to pray. If you want to know what the remedy is for rock bottomness, then think of David on his knees as he prays. But as we think of that, we need to take note of the way in which David prays. What are the first words that we read in this psalm? Have a look at verse 1. What's the first words we read? O Lord. As David is on his bed, as his tears are coming down his face, as he seeks to say this psalm,
His first words that are out of his mouth are, O Lord. His focus is on God. And if you don't believe me, follow it through. Look at the end of verse 2. At the beginning of verse 2 and the end of verse 2. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint. End of verse 2. O Lord, heal me. Verse 3. How long, O Lord, how long? Verse 4. Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Verse 8. Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. Verse 9. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. You see, in David's rock bottomness, he fixes his eyes on God, on the Lord. David understands that there is only one person, God, who can help him. There is only one remedy to his rock bottomness, and that is the Lord. Have a look in verse 4 with me. And as he says this prayer to God, as he focuses his eyes on him, he says in verse 4, Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. David knew God, and he knew what God was like and is like. And he remembers God and his unfailing love. And so as he remembers his unfailing love, he cries out and he says, Lord, save me. I need saving. I'm rock bottom. But as we go through this psalm, David continues his prayer and we begin to see a slight change in the tone. We begin to see another remedy for rock bottomness. David's faith, which is the last point. Look at verse 8 to 10 with me. In these verses, David shows the faith that he has in the Lord. As he begins to pray to the God of verse 4, the God of unfailing love. And as he does that, he begins to feel reassured. The tone changes from helplessness, desperation, and weeping and weariness to assurance. Assurance that God, the Lord, the God of unfailing love, hears his cries. So let me read verse 8 to you. This is what David says as the tone changes. Away from me, all you who do evil. For the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and dismayed. They will turn back in sudden disgrace. In his rock bottomness, David shows his faith in God. Can you put the second point up, guys? His faith means that he can trust God. His faith means that when he cries out for mercy, he can trust that God hears his cries. And as he cries out, he is assured and trusts that God will deliver and save him. Doesn't that fill your heart with joy as you hear these words, which are true for every Christian? But doesn't it seem even more amazing when you think of the situation he's in? So just bear with me for a moment. If you think of shopping for a diamond ring. Now, I'm sure Tim and James, wherever they are in here, can relate to this as they've relentlessly searched to find the ring for their would-be wife. And quite often what happens is you go into a shop and you point out the ring. They bring the ring out. And what do they put the ring on? They put the ring on a board which is made of black felt. It's covered in black felt. And as they place that ring on the black felt, what happens? Doesn't that ring sparkle and shine all the more beautiful? Isn't that true? And that's like what's happening in this psalm. You see, the beautiful assurance of the Psalm 8 to 10 sparkles all the more brightly in the relation to the blackness of David's rock bottomness in verses 1 to 7. That's amazing. So if you're feeling at rock bottom, or if in the future you feel like you're at rock bottom, what should you do? How can I have certainty and assurance that David has in 8 to 10? Where should my certainty and my assurance come from? Well, it comes from the Lord Jesus, doesn't it? How can I be certain that God will hear my prayers when I'm at rock bottom? Well, because of Jesus. You see, Jesus knew what it was to be at rock bottom, didn't he? Let me read a part of Matthew's Gospel, and it's an account of when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is what it says. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Doesn't that sound like rock bottomness to you? See, as Jesus fell on his knees on the ground and prayed, he was overwhelmed with sorrow. Sorrow over sin. But it wasn't his own sin. No, he was perfect. Jesus never sinned. It was sorrow for my sin. It was sorrow for your sin. He was overwhelmed as he thought about the punishment that he was about to endure just hours later, so that I wouldn't have to endure that punishment myself. Jesus knew what it was to be at rock bottom. And yet he willingly allowed himself to be nailed to a cross. And on that cross he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He couldn't have gone any further down in his rock bottomness. And he did it all so that I and all those people who trust in his saving work on the cross can have the assurance that David has, that through his death on the cross, my sins have been dealt with. And I can be certain that when I cry out for mercy, that God hears my prayers. It is only through Jesus and Jesus alone that we find this assurance. And so as we come near to the end of this evening, I wonder, do you know what it is to be at rock bottom? Maybe you feel like you're at rock bottom because you're grieving a loved one. Maybe your body is aging and you just can't do the things you used to be able to do. Maybe life is just simply really hard at the moment for lots of different reasons, and all you want to do is crawl up into a ball and hide. Maybe the pressures of work or of school are just getting too much. Maybe you're experiencing relationship problems in your marriage, or with your family, or with your friends. And maybe, like David, there have been times when you've put your head in your hands and you have wept, helpless and desperate. And if that's you, and you're a Christian here tonight, then remember this psalm in those times. Remember that you can have faith and assurance because of Jesus and his work for you on the cross. Remember that you can come to God and you can cry out to him with the assurance that he hears your cry and he will show you mercy. But I want to warn you about something. You see, the devil would love for you now to walk out this door tonight and believe that this psalm promises that as you go home and you make that prayer, that you will never feel rock bottomness again. But that's not what this psalm is saying. And we should be careful not to think that rock bottomness is a sign that God doesn't love us. Because that is wrong. He is the God of unfailing love. Or maybe right now you're not in that place. Maybe you have been in the past, but right now you're not. What should you do with this psalm? Well, the reality is we are all sinners, and we live in a world full of sinners. And so it's likely that one day you will hit rock bottom again. And so I urge you, take note of what you've heard. Take note of what this psalm says. And remember it so that when those times come, you will have the assurance that God hears your cries for mercy. And maybe you know someone who's at rock bottom. Maybe even the person next to you right now is at rock bottom. Maybe your friend or maybe a family member. Pray for them. Read this psalm to them. I remember a couple of years ago we did a series in Job. And I remember one service in particular being very hard-hitting. The sermon explained Job, explained how he was taken from a happy, prosperous life and how he lost everything. His wife, his children, his house, his wealth, his livelihood, everything. And he was at rock bottom. Now I wonder, do you remember the response that he says later in Job? He says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand upon the earth. As Job said those words, he knew what it was to have faith and assurance that God knew when he was at rock bottom, he would show him mercy. And I remember at the end of that service, looking around the room, and there were people crying. But they weren't crying on their own. There were other people sitting with them. And some of them were crying as well. And they were praying together. Now I'm guessing that those people were at rock bottom. I'm guessing they could relate to what they heard. And this psalm, what David feels at this moment in time in this psalm, tells us that in situations like that, we can have assurance like David, and like Job, that God hears our prayers and shows us mercy and helps us. What if you're not yet a Christian? I'm sure you can relate to being at rock bottom. Being at rock bottom like David. And I want to tell you that the assurance that is promised in this psalm is available to you. If you would, like David, acknowledge your sin and accept that it is only through Jesus that your sins are forgiven. And as you do that, then you can ask God for mercy and he will help you. We're going to spend a moment now just praying, so if you bow your heads. Lord, all too often we feel like we are at rock bottom. Lord, we are sinners living in a sinful world. So often, Lord, we feel helpless, we feel desperate, and we feel weary and weep. And so, Lord, we ask by your Spirit that you would remind us of the truths that we've learned in Psalm 6. We would ask that as we trust in you, we trust in the work of your Son on the cross, that you would assure us and fill us with joy,
that we would know that you are a God who hears our prayers and who shows us mercy. Amen.